Welcome to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Today is March Sunday the 29th. I tell you, the month is almost over. And those of you who have been listening to me for years, you know that during the month of March, I always highlight Black women in our community for Women History Month that are doing amazing things and have had a phenomenal impact. This month, we have had some amazing folks to come on and talk to us. Unfortunately, last week, we had to interrupt our regular scheduled program to talk about the coronavirus. And we're going to do some of that again today. We're not going to continue with the scheduled program, but I do want to just highlight the person that I wanted to have the conversation about today, and that's Miss Benny Nura. As a matter of fact, she celebrated a birthday this past week. Happy belated birthday, Miss Nura. We love you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your contribution to the community. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And my second person was going to be Miss Gwen Walker. And many of you know her. She attends Caning Baptist Church. And she's just an amazing lady. And I have enjoyed going with Miss Gwen Walker to Hope Harbor House, where on Saturdays, once a month, she go and feed the homeless, and we cook fish, we cook spaghetti, we bake bread, we do all type of things, provide desserts, you know, just giving back to the community. So those are two phenomenal Black women making a tremendous impact in our community that I want to highlight again. Miss Benny Newroff, Miss Gwen Walker, both of you are worthy of being honored for your tireless years of contribution to our community and our city here in the Columbus Chattahoochee Valley area. But I do want to sharply go ahead and turn to this coronavirus. As you guys see from last week, this thing is continuing to become more and more of an issue in our community and a challenge. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about the coronavirus on this show for about 5 weeks now. You know, we've been talking about that it was coming and we need to begin prepared. Well, you know, as of this past week, Georgia had already topped over 2,000 confirmed cases with the coronavirus, and over 600 people are still currently hospitalized. And we've seen our number of deaths approaching 100 people that have died from this virus in this state. You guys, it's a very, very serious matter that we have here on our hands. And what we're seeing is that this virus has the ability to spread in clusters. And one cluster that the state is really watching and working on right now aggressively is Albany, Georgia. You know, just this past week, they've already topped 200 confirmed cases in Albany alone, And just this past week as well, we had a critical update from our mayor. And I'm extremely happy that Mayor Skip Henderson went ahead and took this step. What he did was he extended his declaration of local emergency so that the parks can remain opening. The parks will remain open for your walking pleasures, your exercising pleasures, you know, as long as you're practicing the social distancing, being at least 6 feet apart from each other. But the amenities at the park, they are closed now. So you can no longer go there and play basketball. Please don't go play basketball. Please do not go play tennis. Please do not go play volleyball. Please do not use the exercising stations. There's nothing out there to wipe them down with. And if we're all sweating on the bars, you know, we're just passing things along to each other. Please do not convene in the pavilions. And please, please, please do not take your children to the playground and have them on the playground equipment. You don't know what child they may be following that have could been exposed to the virus, that are there potentially placing the virus on the equipment. Now, I do have with me today one of my favorite DJs here in the city. Many of you know him, a great guy. Michael Soul is here with me in the building today, and he's going to help me conduct the show today, because there are several people that we talked to that we wanted you to get important information from. One, you're going to be hearing from Congressman Sanford Bishop shortly. And after you hear from him, you're also going to be hearing from Mercedes Parham. She's going to give us a very good update from the Muskogee County School District. In addition to that, we do want to go ahead and announce that the state of Alabama, Michael, so I know this impacts you and your family the most.
Yes, sir. My daughter is a senior over at Central High School, so this definitely impacts us. The state of Alabama has closed school for the remainder of the year. Mm-hmm. And my daughter shed a tear, of course, and we just want to encourage all of the seniors, especially the seniors over in Alabama and our neighboring state, to keep your heads up. We're going to get through this as we have been thus far together. But they did the right thing.
You know, it's very emotional. It's very emotional. But at the same time, Mike, I know you just like myself. I prefer that we err on the side of safety when it comes to our young people than jeopardizing and gambling with their lives.
That's the sentiment of most parents. They understand it, although it is some frustration going on, you know, because now they're having to teach at home, and some, you know, have made some jokes about it that now you see what the teachers got to deal with.
exactly.
But it's all good, and it's very necessary. We just have to be safe, everybody, and we definitely want to protect our babies and our future.
And you know, and so I want you and I to just spend one quick second to talk to our people, because we can be defiant sometimes. We still have our little parties going on at the house. You know, the bootleg lady still selling beer for a dollar and a quarter. You know, people standing there convening behind the shots. That can be extremely dangerous right now.
It is so serious, everybody. And even, and I know Sanford is going to address this as well, Congressman Bishop, but even, you know, churches right now, I want to say we rode past, my mother-in-law was in an accident, and she's doing very well, by the way. She's doing very well. But as we were following the ambulance to the hospital, and of course they have the no visitor policy, so we were impacted by that because of the coronavirus as well. But as we were passing by, this church was packed. And my wife looked and she said, "Wait a minute, what's going on?"
Wow.
And I said, obviously, they either don't know how serious this is or do know and are just not ready to accept.
Well, I think part of the challenge, Soul, is that when the talk of the virus first began to come out, it became more of a joke. You know, black folks can't get it.
Right.
It only impact old folks.
Right.
And now we have people 42, 36, 23, 29 that have passed away all over this country.
And that was a wake up for me in talking about it. When the news broke about Georgia schools now extending another month, they will go back April 27th, and then Alabama closing altogether. When I mentioned the word death, it woke me up to realize that not only are people getting sick, people are dying as a result of this virus, and we got to take it serious.
We got to take it. And, you know, and one thing before we go into Congressman Bishop, you're going to hear him state that the bill that Congress passed is through July 31st. That makes me wonder, Michael, so if our students in Georgia will be going back on the 27th, because there are a lot of entities that are planning right now for beyond that.
And people, again, are not taking it serious. They want it to be over this weekend, and it's not happening.
Right.
After I heard the Surgeon General say, "We haven't even seen the worst of this yet, that these cases are going to continue to rise, but we all need to act like we have it." So when we talk about social distancing, if we act like we have it, then we're going to stay away from the people that we need to stay away from.
Absolutely.
And not put people at in harm's risk. We've even taken measures here at the company, at the radio station, to make sure that we're following those guidelines as well. We've got a very limited number of staff on hand. And then we're all staying in our studios, but we're trying to follow that guidance. Now we just got to extend that all the way out, Teddy. I say from the trap all the way to the church, to the factory,
absolutely,
to the hoods. Everybody's got to be on the same page right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get Congressman Bishop and Mercedes Parham in here. They got some good information they want to give us from Congress and from the local school district here. So we're going to go ahead and get that in. Well, Congressman Bishop, we want to thank you for chiming in with us today as we discuss the coronavirus and the impacts that it's having across our state, the nation, and our local area. And, of course, you're our amazing congressman for the 2nd Congressional District. And we know that Congress and the Senate just recently passed a stimulus bill to assist families throughout this disaster that's happening in our country. Can you just give us just a little bit on what that bill is going to do and what people in the Chattahoochee Valley area should expect from it?
Well, yes, I'll be delighted to do that. We're facing a crisis, the likes of which we've never seen before in our lifetime. The COVID-19, the coronavirus is really, really devastating people all across the world. And here in the United States, it is really accelerated to the point that we're losing more people than any place else in the world as we speak. Congress just a few minutes ago, passed the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, called the CARES Act for short. But I want to share the information that I have as quickly as possible because many people are waiting for support right now. First off, the bill includes a $200 billion investment in hospitals and health systems and in health research. This includes funding for healthcare equipment and infrastructure, including the personal protective equipment for the healthcare workers, for testing supplies and new construction to house patients. It also includes increases in Medicare payments to all of the hospitals and the providers to get them the resources that they need during the crisis, and additional investments into COVID-19 research. It includes $150 billion for the Coronavirus Relief Fund, which is a program that provides direct funding to states to give them the resources that they desperately need during the emergency. For individuals, the bill creates two programs to help get money into people's pockets right now. The first program is recovery rebates. It's a direct payment of $1,200 to each adult and $500 per child. The second is a new pandemic unemployment compensation program that increases unemployment benefits by a taxable $600 per week, and it expands the eligibility for unemployment to include people who are self-employed, who are independent contractors, and who are gig economy workers.
That's good.
Such as Uber and Lyft drivers. It's a $260 billion investment in the unemployment insurance benefits to match the average paycheck of laid off or furloughed workers. The increased payments will run until July 31st, 2020, and the bill also provides an additional $15.5 billion in funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which is the food stamp program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the details on the recovery rebate, the direct payments to individuals, and it will be administered by the Department of the Treasury. The payment amount, this will provide direct payments to people, including people on Social Security, whether it's retirement, disability, or survivor, the supplemental security income, those folks will be eligible and will receive it. The amount of the rebate depends on the family size. The payment is $1,200, as I said, for each adult, $2,400 for joint filers, and $500 per qualifying child under the age of 17. Now, the way the payments will be delivered, the payment will be based on your federal income tax return filed in 2019 or 2018. If you did not file your taxes in either of those years, your information will be taken from the Social Security Administration. Taxpayers must have Social Security numbers for themselves and their qualifying children in order to receive the rebates. The rebates will be delivered automatically by the IRS to most Americans who file individual federal income tax returns. For people who filed a federal income tax return in 2018 or 2019, the payments will be sent using either electronic deposit or the address information that's already on file with the IRS. The IRS will set up a way to get the payments to people without that information on file. Now, the pandemic unemployment insurance. The application process is administered by the Workforce Commission. The increased benefit, the federal pandemic unemployment compensation, is a taxable $600 a week in addition to regular state unemployment benefits. The states would be allowed to provide an additional 13 weeks of benefits beyond the current law, and that bill funds that. Expanded eligibility. People who are not normally eligible for unemployment insurance are now eligible under the expanded eligibility if that unemployment is due to the COVID-19 virus. This specifically includes self-employed workers, independent contractors, gig economy workers, and people who were going to begin a new job or a new contract, which was canceled due to the COVID-19. Okay, the SNAP, food stamp eligibility requirements. Individuals must show proof that they are the person they claim to be. The applicants must provide proof of their identity, must be living in the state of Georgia. Household members can include either U.S. citizens or certain aliens with verifiable U.S. CIS documentation. The households must provide or apply for Social Security numbers for each member before they're certified. For small businesses, the bill includes $377 billion of fast relief for small businesses and made rent, mortgage, and utility costs eligible for SBA loan forgiveness. This bill creates several new programs designed to get assistance to small businesses and nonprofits during the crisis. They include the Paycheck Protection Program to help cover the costs of retaining employees, emergency economic injury grants to get smaller amounts of capital quickly, and the Small Business Debt Relief Program to help with payments on current or potential SBA loans. Now, the Paycheck Protection Plan, the program will provide 100% federally guaranteed loans to employers who maintain their payroll during the emergency. If employers maintain their payroll, the loans will be forgiven for amounts that they expend for payroll over certain periods and certain other business expenses. Small businesses and nonprofits will be able to apply if they were in business as of February the 15th, 2020, and the program will remain open for applications until June 30th, 2020. This bill provides important protections for millions of people with federally backed mortgages or that receive federal subsidies. The bill provides a four-month moratorium on evictions to protect renters who are unable to pay their rent. For places of worship, 501c3 nonprofits, including churches, are eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program for the payroll costs of their business operations. We are leading the charge with other members of Congress and the Treasury Department to ensure that churches who have been deemed 501c3 but not formally registered as a 501c3 will be eligible to access these funds.
Yes, sir. Well, Congressman Bishop, we certainly appreciate your time, and we appreciate that very detailed update for the listeners here.
I can't emphasize enough that sheltering in place and social distancing is very, very, very important. The spread of the virus has gone exponentially in Georgia because of social contact. There were two funerals in Albany 3 weeks ago where two people who had tested positive, who tested positive subsequently, infected a congregation of 400 people. As a result of that, one of the ministers at the funeral is already deceased from coronavirus. Several other people who attended the funeral have deceased, and several others are on life support as we speak. The death toll in the Daugherty County area as a result of that has skyrocketed. And of course, some of those people have traveled to other parts of the state. It appears that those two individuals had come to the funeral traveling from Atlanta. But the spread of the virus is really, really dangerous, and the only way to stop that is to reduce social contact. The city of Albany has shut down. Only essential travel is authorized. Restaurants are only serving takeout, and people are urged to only take necessary trips away from home and to maintain at least 10 feet of distance between you and another person. This is extremely important. I have seen people in this community and in other communities, while this crisis is ongoing, having parties at home, attending card parties, cookouts and the like, and church services in a number of places have continued. Some pastors have been very, very reluctant to cancel their church services. I cannot urge strongly enough that church services and gatherings of any type where there are more than 10 people be curtailed and avoided completely.
Well, we got to keep praying, Congressman Bishop, but we also got to be smart. And if we do exactly what you just said on this phone, on this call, then, you know, we'll be headed in the right direction of keeping our people safe, making sure that we're safe from this and making sure that we make it through, you know, as a culture and as a people. So, again, we are extremely appreciative of your time and your passion and all of your hard work that you do for us here in the 2nd Congressional District, and even those that benefit from your work outside of your congressional district. I know that they are appreciative as well.
All right, it's Sunday Conversations, and we've got a special guest on the line. She's a director of communications, and this is Mercedes Parr. Mercedes, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Wonderful. And first of all, I hope you and your family are safe.
Thank you. I hope yours are too.
So I know your hands have been full as far as getting out information to our community and to the students and families of Muskogee County School District. Let's talk about the latest communication, of course, that has come from your office in the district in relation to the statewide closure of our schools that has now been extended through April 24th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, let's talk about that. What are the details as far as that's concerned?
Well, the details on that is, as you may have seen in the news, the governor issued a declaration to extend the closures for all public school systems within Georgia. So we are following suit. Prior to us closing, we had some instructional resources prepared for students and those who have print packets or digital packets. Those things are being updated regularly. So during the spring break, there will be no instruction. However, upon return, the week of April 6th instruction will resume. And that Tuesday and Wednesday, April 7th and 8th, students who have printed packets or need to get additional resources will be able to go to their schools between 9 and 11 and 1 and 3 and then 5 and 7. So, 7 to 9, 11 to 1, and 5 to 7 p.m. So if they need to pick up items, there will be a process. It will be in accordance with the CDC's guidelines for social distancing. So parents, if you need to get, you know, all that stuff done, just visit our website for specific details. There are a ton of resources out there right now to keep instructional things going with your students, to add things onto it and make it creative, make it fun. I've seen really great things coming from our teachers and our administrators on keeping our students engaged.
Once again, we're talking with Mercedes Parham, Director of Communications from Muskogee County School District. And by now, everyone knows that the closure of the schools has been extended until April 24th. Students are expected to return on April 27th. Mercedes, what are some of the questions now that parents have about this closure and then how to get those resources and things for?
I think the biggest thing is going to be how to get the resources and also, what is expected of your student? I know a lot of parents are concerned about the grading. And right now, we are awaiting some guidance from the Department of Education on how much flexibility we can actually lend to our students. But our goal is not to create a punitive environment where students cannot get the help that they need and then they receive a grade that doesn't reflect truly the ability that they have. So for that reason, we are not actually entering in grades. Work is being checked at right now at the level of completion, and we'll get further guidance from the state. But if parents have concerns about that, we always ask parents, please contact your school. And if you have any issues getting in contact with someone, please contact the district office. We have a communication portal, a comment portal on our website. We have Facebook Messenger. We're monitoring comments, and we're trying to respond as quickly as we can. Just know that we're deliberating constantly throughout the week, hosting Zoom meetings with our senior leadership team to consider every variable that comes up. So the quicker that you can let us know of your concerns, the better we can address them.
Once again, we're talking with Mercedes Parham, Muskogee County School District, about the extended closure of the schools and learning resources. Mercedes, talk again about the parents who don't have internet, you know, and what they can do to get the resources they need for their children.
Absolutely. We have printed packets for instruction for parents who may not have access to the internet. However, I will say that AT&T and Xfinity have a number of free Wi-Fi hotspots that they have opened up to the public. And all you have to do is go onto their website to locate those Wi-Fi hotspots, or just turn your phone on Wi-Fi. And as you are driving, you will be able to locate those. Many of them are within neighborhoods and near businesses and common places throughout Columbus, Georgia. So the other thing that has been offered, but there are some resources that corporate entities are providing. But from our perspective, for those parents who don't have internet, it is really important that you make sure your phone number is accurate in the student information system so that your teachers and your principal can get in contact with you. And if your student is having trouble with one of the instructional packets, they can reach out to you directly and give you further guidance.
Special guest on Sunday Conversations, Mercedes Parham, Director of Communications for Muskogee County School District. Mercedes, let's talk about, too, the feeding program. And I want to commend the district as well for making sure that our students were taken care of up until spring break for actually getting lunch served. But I understand now that after spring break, both breakfast and lunch will be served, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. So the packages will include breakfast and lunch items when you pick them up. Same rules, same locations. We're looking at the locations and sites every chance that we can. So if there are concerns about transportation in specific areas, parents need to let the district know that if there's not a location close to your neighborhood and you are noticing several people have that issue, please let us know. One of the things I want to just mention related to the meal sites is during spring break, the United Way and Community Foundation of the Chattahoochee Valley partnered up to make sure that we can feed students at the same sites on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays of spring break. And it will be the same time, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30. It's every other day, but you're going to get 2 days worth of meals in a buddy pack is what they're calling it. And students, it's the same rules. Students just need to be present. You do not need to get out of your car. And you don't need ID or anything like that. So they're going to base their numbers off of the first day, like we base our numbers off the first day. So just make sure that you find a way to get there and participate so that those who are truly in need also are counted in that.
Mercedes, is there anything else you'd like for the community to know?
Oh, yes. We're keeping everything updated on our website. We have a COVID-19 landing page right off of our main website at muskogee.k12.ga.us. And we're capturing a lot of the frequently asked questions in the right column. So if you want to peruse through that and kind of get a feel for that, and we're putting updates related to all of our press releases, messages from our superintendent, and declarations issued by the governor, and we're breaking it down by category so that everyone knows where to find that information. And more importantly, important links and resources related to talking to your students about COVID-19. The resources for mental health support during this time is really important. And also free and open access to student learning tools like Galileo, which lets you search all kinds of publications and journals, the Chattahoochee Valley Library System, PBS and GPB are doing broadcast schedules that align with our curriculum every single day, and that is on broadcast. So if you don't have the internet, get one of those digital antennas so that you can enjoy some of the broadcast resources for our students.
Mercedes, thank you again. As you said, you know, we're all going through this together. We're all making the necessary adjustments because this has never happened before. And I'm sure this will prepare us for whatever else is to come. But again, I want to commend you and the district for doing what you're doing, not only for students, but also for the families out here. Give us your contact phone number in case anyone needs that number to give you a call as well.
Absolutely. 706-748-2034. And the best email to reach us is communications with an S at muskogee.k12.ga.us, or just hit us up on Facebook Messenger.
All right, Mercedes, thank you so much. Please be safe, be careful, and we're going to get through this together. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so we've had another great show of Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Unfortunately, we had to have it under these circumstances where we're talking about the silent killer. You know, when I first started watching this thing on the news, so everything was so surreal when things first started shutting down. You'd walk outside, it was so quiet. Yeah. And, you know, and I would look on the horizon, it was like I would see a tsunami coming.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen videos of tsunamis coming out of the ocean, coming onto land, just imagine an invisible tsunami of a deadly virus just invading our city. That's what's happening, you guys. It's all around us. We got to be careful. We got to be vigilant. Listen to what Congressman Bishop said. That's some excellent information. And if we do this, I know we'll be okay. Yeah. You know, reality is telling us right now that we're going to lose a lot of people.
Right.
Reality is telling us we're going to, and some of them will be people that we know. As a matter of fact, I know people personally right now that have passed away from this virus.
Yes, sir.
And it's not easy. However, I don't want to see us lose anybody else. And we can prevent that by just doing what people, the government is asking us to do.
I'll be honest, man. Reality really didn't set in with me until after we pulled the plug on the Women's Empowerment Luncheon.
Mm.
One of our major events going into our 18th year.
Mm-hmm.
And after you're doing something for 18 years, you expected it. The event was already sold out,
mm-hmm.
but 2 days before, we pulled the plug following those directives, though, and guidance, mm-hmm. you know, from the state and national officials from the CDC. And I'm proud of the company for that. Mm-hmm. And I got to say that. I know this is our show and these are our stations and we're airing this program. But I got to say that because I really was proud for the stance that we took, because right after that, then you saw other entities begin to take those stances as far as their events mm-hmm. were concerned. There's a few here and there mm-hmm. that went ahead, but really against the directives and the guidance that we were receiving.
Absolutely. So. And I hate that they did that, because as you heard from the conversation earlier, it's taken some people 10 to 14 days before they even see symptoms.
Right.
We don't know what those people encounter and if they're going to have to deal with that. But, you know, it really set in with me. So I think it was late December going into the new year. My wife came in one day, and many of you know my wife is a doctor, and she said to me, she said, there's a virus right now that they just discovered in China. And she was like, it's a little concerning to me as a doctor, because we don't know how to fight this thing.
Wow.
And she said, if it starts to spread, it's going to be a problem. And then I started to cue in on the news on it, and I started watching that, and I saw what was happening in China and in Korea and Hong Kong and those other places, and I was like, oh, my God.
The thing we're talking about now is after this.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to be stronger. We're going to be mm-hmm. wiser. We're going to mm-hmm. be better.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I think that more people will begin to pay more attention to the news. You know, I think, you know, a lot of times it's I'll catch it when I can.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, this, as we heard from Congressman Bishop, is not only affecting the world, it's affecting us right here in the United States. And a lot of times we see things happen afar off.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think it can reach our shores. And mm-hmm. this one has reached our shore. So we salute the first responders.
Absolutely.
All the first responders out there.
First responders, our truck drivers, you know, our people in the healthcare field, our elected leaders that are working hard for us every day. You know, we appreciate all of you, all of what everyone's doing during this time to stay at home. homegrown parents that now have to be educators, you know, we appreciate you too, because we are strong as a country because of our knowledge and because of our capability. And now it's upon us to make sure we continue to educate our children. And we have to take that seriously. Turn the TV off for 2 hours and the work with your child.
Come on.
Pull out some markers and some crayon and do some arts and crafts.
Come on.
Let's keep that mentality, that mental stimulation going. We can't fail our children at this point.
Right.
That episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta can wait.
Okay.
It can wait, because this is our future.
You mentioned your wife is a doctor. My wife is a nurse, and she does home health. And so she's out there. Mm-hmm. And that reality began to set in with me as well. Baby, how you feeling? Mm-hmm. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's out there and she's seeing. She's seeing it. And she, you know, and she said to me as well, I really don't think people are taking this serious.
Right.
Everybody, this is serious. That stay in shelter. We got to do that. You know, if you don't have to be out, stay at home.
Right.
You know, it's the best place to be right now. I don't think we ever thought that it would come to this. But guess what? It's here. This is real. Stay at home. If you got to go out for work, we understand. If you got to go to the grocery store, we understand. You got a doctor's appointment, we understand. Mm-hmm. But expect some restrictions there when you get to the doctor as well.
But the great creator, our God, has brought us here for this moment.
Yes, sir.
If he didn't think that we could get through this, he would not have brought us to it.
Come on.
And I know he got us.
Yes, sir.
So we got to stay prayed up, but we know faith without works is dead. If we don't do what these folks are telling us to do, if we don't listen to the health professionals,
right.
Michael, so
right.
we're going to find ourselves in trouble.
Right.
This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank Michael Soul again for joining us today. And I look forward to you joining us from here on out every Sunday on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcast. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.